Luke's Gospel, please. Chapter 24. Verse number 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets had spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Verse 31, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. John 20, please. John 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, then came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Now look over to the Hebrew epistle, please. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, or in Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now I think we should read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You know the context. We'll read verse number 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Recently we got some helpful ministry on this opening of the scriptures to those discouraged disciples on the road to Emmaus. And he opened unto them in all the scriptures concerning himself, a presentation of Christ himself from the Old Testament writings. And the result was, you'll notice they constrained him that he should abide with them. They wanted more of his company. And when their eyes were opened to recognize him, they said, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and was that? You'll notice that an opening up of the scriptures concerning himself warmed the very hearts of those disciples. Now I want to take a look at himself as presented in the New Testament. as he opened unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? Doubtless he would open unto them Psalm 24, that triumphant psalm. Open up ye gates, and be opened up ye everlasting doors, and let the King of glory in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord mighty in battle. Ah, but before Psalm 24 could be penned, Psalm 22 would be penned. He must suffer ere he would reign. And the one that'll enter into the city in triumph and wield the scepter, when he left the city before, he left it with a cross of shame upon his back. In Isaiah's prophecy, when he told of the majesty that at Markham in 53, he shall be exalted and be made very high. We read in chapter 53, he is despised and rejected of men, the suffering Christ that would enter into scenes of glory. That which the Old Testament prophets, they desired to look into, they pondered the very scriptures that they wrote. The sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. But it's these references just to himself that we have in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 1. God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son, whom he hath appointed heir over all things, by whom also he made the worlds, the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person, when he had by himself made purification for sin, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Thou Lord of all transcendent, thou life-creating Son, to worlds on thee dependent, yet bruised and spit upon. Who is he? He's the full manifestation of God. He that has seen me has seen the Father. The prophets, God did speak through the prophets, but it was partial and fragmentary. But that revelation in the Son, he that has seen me has seen the Father. But by himself, he made purification of sins. Note the order. Son, heir, creator, Redeemer. That establishes forever the eternal sonship of Christ. He was heir because he was Son. By him all things were created. By himself made purification for sin. I know the revisers changed that, but Mr. Darby doesn't, so I keep it to myself. It was himself, one God. One mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. No angel could our place have taken, highest of the high though he. It was the heir of all things that met every claim of the throne, that met the need of sinner. Mediator between God and man. And it's Jesus himself drew near and went with them. A ministry for saints in bewilderment and confusion, the presence of Christ and unfolding of himself. But in John 20, notice when he did appear, not on the Sabbath. No, on the first day of the week. I like in Matthew, when the Sabbaths were passing, began to dawn on the first day of the week. All that belonged to that order of ceremonial religion is forever past. The house was left desolate. The veil was rent. And on the first day of the week, where? In temple court? No, we say the house was left desolate. In the upper room, to whom did he appear? To the high priest? To the scribes, to the Pharisees. No, on the first day of the week, when the disciples were gathered, Jesus himself drew near and stood in their midst. And we've been hearing, he showed them his hands and his side on the first day of the week. Thomas wasn't present. What was the message that he heard? We've seen the Lord. I'm sure Thomas spent a miserable week. Yes, we've seen the Lord on the first day of the week. He was in our midst. Thomas, he showed us his hands and his side. And I tell you, we were glad. Thomas, you have missed something. If you're absent on the first day of the week, when he showed himself to his own, I want to tell you, brother, you have missed something. If you miss that gathering where the Lord himself is in the midst. Yes, it is true. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And remember the Lord now for over 60 years. And I want to tell you, there's no experience so sweet as we feel that he has revealed himself to his own in the midst. Now, if you want to go for traveling interest to Israel, I have no objections whatever. I've been asked, were you ever in the Holy Land? Says, I am often there. I want to tell you, this is the holiest spot on earth. Oft times when we sit down on the first day of the week, to me it's still a marvel that despite all the confusion that's found in the religious world, there are means of grace just to take a look and to remember that it's our great privilege to take those emblems given by the Lord himself the very night in which he was being betrayed, instituted beneath the very shadow of the cross. Oh, it was real to him when he said, my body for you, my blood shed for you, this do in remembrance of me. May God deliver us from all of ceremonial business. And he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now some of my brethren may not agree with me, but just switch off your hearing aid for a time. Notice that in chapter 4, it's concerning them that are asleep. The apostle, as he left his converts in Thessalonica, he did what any good gospel preacher should do. To turn to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for a son from heaven. What's your expectation, you saints at Thessalonica? Oh, we're waiting for days of tribulation. Never. We're waiting for God's Son from heaven. That's the expectation that God would have to fill our hearts. We could be at our last conference in Porto Vogue. I'm surprised he's not here. The scene about us is ripe for divine intervention and judgment before he does it. Our expectation is the coming of God's Son from heaven. Now, some of their company have fallen asleep. Now notice, he's writing concerning them that are asleep or have fallen asleep. Have they missed the great expectancy of their life? Have they missed this experience of being caught up together to meet him in the air? No. We believe that Jesus died, yes, and rose again. And them also which sleep, through Jesus will God bring with him. As sure as Christ rose from the dead, the sleeping saints will rise. How will it be experienced? Well, the Lord himself. It was himself on the cross. It's himself in the midst of his own. It's the Lord himself. He'll not commission an archangel to meet the saints. You know, when they would do that delicate art of winning a bride for Isaac, it is a delicate art, you know, they'd send a servant to win the heart of the bride. I want to tell you, it'll be no archangel. It'll be the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with shout. Did you notice that request in John 17 when we are allowed to listen in and it's deity speaking to deity? It's the Son speaking to his Father and expressing the longing that's within his heart. Father, he said, I will that they also whom thou hast given me, that they might be with me and behold my glory. Heaven will not be complete. His heart will not be satisfied until he has us with him in scenes of glory. Yes, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with shout, voice of archangel and trump of God, and the dead in Christ. Now it's concerning them that are asleep. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we also who remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's your difficulty settled. That's how sleeping saints are going to participate in the great expectancy of their hearts. Oh, the blessed joy of meeting. All the desert past. Oh, what wondrous words of greeting he will speak at last. He and I together entering those bright courts above. He and I together sharing all the Father's love. Heaven waits to celebrate the arrival of the bride, the Lamb's wife. Blessed are all they that are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. When heaven celebrates her arrival, archangel will stand by with joy to see the heart of Christ delighted, the Lord himself in the midst. The sufferings of Christ, the glory that should follow. Angels desire to look into it. We who are mainly of the Gentile nations, brought in to know an intimacy and a relationship with Christ, that John, the bridegroom's friend, will rejoice to see the delight of his heart in that coming day. It's ours to bear testimony for him in the day of his rejection, when he shall come in bright array and lead that conquering line. It will be glory then to say that he's a friend of mine. He showed them his hands. on his side. He's still pleased to presence himself in the midst of his own. We may be gladly, I concur fully with what our brethren said. I wonder what's wrong when we're privileged to know a place within the veil with Christ's presence in our scenes. How we can refrain from giving God thanks for such a glorious one that he has made known to us.